This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And united make a sound.
Whoops. And with that extremely important message, it is now exactly midnight in New York City, and you are tuned to listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM. And that means that if all goes well, it's now. Okay, it's time for this. Right? Where do you want to need you, buddy? Hello? There you are. Moorish, Orthodox, Radio, Crusade, Anarchism for the Global City, Radical Environmentalism for the Concrete Jungle, Esoteric Explorations of the Secret History of Rebel Culture, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Myself, I'm a man.
All right. Welcome aboard to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener supported and on commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City with your host, Bill Weinberg. And we're opening up tonight with a cover, of course, of the Rolling Stones classic, Sympathy for the Devil, by one of these new bands. By new, of course, I mean around 20 years old. I think that band was called Alice's Addiction, or maybe it's Jane in Chains, one or the other. Anyway, there's any number of reasons why we could be opening with that particular song tonight. But I'll just mention one. And that's that, you know, there's recently been some sympathy in supposedly progressive circles for the separatist rebels in the Central Asian enclave of Groznia. And people should really be aware of what the background to this crisis is before they decide that they support the movement there. And we're privileged to be joined tonight by a veteran intelligence analyst by the name of Dr. James Brent, who's been doing a great deal of research into the little-known war in Groznia. Welcome aboard, Dr. Brent.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, for starters, could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be involved in following the crisis in Groznia?
Well, I've been a U.S. intelligence associate on and off over the years, and especially the Groznian separatist movement seems to have underlying a movement that is not... It's not all clear exactly what's going on there. And having followed that since the demise of the Soviet Union, I decided to take a closer look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's received very little coverage, unfortunately. And to the extent that it has received coverage, there's all of these theories that, the French have introduced some kind of elite expeditionary force to hunt down the warlord Aslan Gulbuddin Khan.
Yes, the French introduced an expeditionary force in 2006.
Right.
The cover story is that Aslan Gulbuddin Khan is dealing in nuclear materials, which is acceptable, as he cooperated with the CIA during Operation Sapphire, removing nuclear materials and U-235 from the former Soviet Union after the fall in 1993.
That's what Operation Sapphire was.
Yes, in Ust-Kamenogorsk. But he had allegedly split with the CIA and was now selling nuclear materials on the open market.
What was his role in Operation Sapphire?
He was cooperating, tracking down U-235 that had gone missing from the former Soviet warehouses, which were literally entirely unguarded at the time. Operation Sapphire was run mainly by the U.S. Air Force to, as part of an overall program of removing...
With the cooperation of the Russians or not?
It wasn't the Russians. Operation Sapphire was in Turkmenistan.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And
the Soviets had nuclear material there.
Soviets had nuclear material there, although this is after the fall of the Soviet Union. This would be in October, probably, 1993.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Aslan Khan falls off the map for a while and then reappears, allegedly running a Groznian separatist movement.
Precisely.
But...
Which bursts onto the world scene in 3 years ago. Most people had never even heard of Groznia before then.
In 2006.
Yeah.
And the French send in expeditionary force. It's relatively well known that the central government has given concessions to the French mineral water interests seeking to exploit Groznia's mountain aquifers.
Precisely.
Which would be elbowing out Coca-Cola, which had also sought to exploit these waters for a local bottling plant. But even now, once regimes have changed, both in Washington and Paris, the covert operations continue, indicative of a far-reaching agenda by all parties involved. There's allegations, for instance, that Sarkozy is an ex-Mossad agent.
We've heard that, yeah.
And take that as you will. But interestingly enough, Athena Human Technology a wholly owned subsidiary of Marhav, installed security and surveillance system at the Turkmenbashi refinery, which is the largest refining facility on the Caspian coast. Now, Athena is led by...
What's the name again? Athena?
Athena Human and Technology Integrated Security Solutions. And it's a wholly owned facility. It's wholly owned a subsidiary of Merhav. And Athena is led by Shabtai Shavit, who was a former head of Mossad.
Indeed.
So what exactly Mossad is doing there, are they playing a game against against Aslan Gulbuddin-Khan? It does not seem to be about mineral water or pirated U-235. It, a little-known fact about Grozny is that it has the largest world repository of coltanite.
Now, coltanite.
Coltanite is an ore of niobium and tantalum, which are almost indistinguishable elements with very high melting point. Coltanite has trace elements of oxygen and ammonium, and it gives it a unique oscillatory property.
Well, hang on. Before we get to that, perhaps we should talk a little bit more about what's been the way the media has portrayed the whole thing. Because, I mean, are we merely to dismiss the notion that there's, I mean, sort of this intrigue, the rival industrial interest, the French mineral water interest in Coca-Cola competing for the mountain aquifers of Groznia, which are very rich in a very arid part of the world, and water being an extremely strategic resource. And the CIA might have, you know, sort of been following Coca-Cola in terms of a sort of a Bush-Cheney covert op against old Europe interests in Central Asia.
There was a theory that Cheney was so out of control that he had literally decided to go up against the French just because they were French.
Right. So,
but as I said, the regimes have changed in both Paris and
Washington. Right, this is true. Okay, but do you believe that the CIA was backing Gulbuddin Khan?
That's unclear at this point. It seems like Gulbuddin Khan may have maybe playing many sides of this. Of, you know, he may also be playing both sides of the court, so to speak.
Okay, but you're saying that the nuclear materials and even the water, there's actually other resource agendas here which are more fundamental.
Yes, I think that the nuclear materials are a false flag, and that. You say nuclear materials and everybody says, oh, okay, we're going to send in the troops. But I don't believe that there actually are that many pirated nuclear materials in Groznia.
Well, Gulbuddin Khan has been allegedly, if we're to believe the French, complicit in smuggling ex-Soviet pirated nuclear materials from Central Asia to guerrilla forces in Latin America and elsewhere around the world.
Yes, if you believe the French. But is there any other indications of that? My speculation is that Gulbuddin Khan is working with the Central Intelligence Agency, and if so, would not be selling pirated nuclear materials in Latin America.
All right, well, other people have, maybe we're jumping ahead of ourselves here, but other people have questioned whether, in fact, the nuclear materials which were intercepted were, in fact, of Soviet origin. But first, why don't we discuss this, let's get back to the coltanite.
Well, coltanite is a rare ore. It's related to coltan, which you know from the war in the Congo. It's an ore of niobium and tantalum, and it's a very high melting point, and it can be used in cell phones. It can be reused in Raman injection lasers, which is a very powerful high-frequency laser beam. And tantalum was discovered in Sweden in 1802 by a chemist, Anders Ekberg. And the world supply of coltanite is currently controlled by a little-known Swedish bank, Svenssonbanken, allegedly for use in their encrypted wireless Svensson financial terminals. But this seems to be... as on its surface would be trivia on the edge of a standard tale of Western interests in Central Asia, except there seem to be darker forces at work.
Darker forces.
Well,
are you questioning that in fact the coltanite is being used in the Svensson terminals?
I do not believe coltanite is actually being used in Svensson terminals, as For reasons I'll get into in a moment.
Okay.
And then also because coltan, which is much more common, although admittedly there are some nasty wars going on in the Congo right now, would fulfill the technological need. So why the entire world's supply of coltan is support is controlled by this group.
By which group? The Svensson-Banken?
By the Svensson-Banken.
Mm-hmm.
Elicits curiosity.
Okay.
Elicited my curiosity.
Okay. And so you investigated a little bit deeper.
Well, I investigated a little bit deeper, but I had a connection, or still have a connection, former U.S. Air Force Colonel Fletcher Coopwell. And he has written a book called The True History of the Svensson-Banken. And he's who first pointed me at the coltanite when we were discussing Grozny. And I first met Fletcher Coopwell while booking flights for him out of a travel agency I operated in Los Angeles.
Mm, that was when?
This would be in the early 1980s.
Uh-huh. He was active duty Air Force at this time.
At the time, he was currently in the United States Air Force, mm-hmm. although he would occasionally fly commercial for reasons I was not privy to, either acting independently or out from under Air Force surveillance. He had also been assigned to a U.S. intelligence group, the Federal Atomic Regulatory Task Force, which is a covert umbrella group involved in tracking nuclear materials and other exotic elements.
Uh-huh.
And whether the U.S. intelligence services cooperate with each other is speculative on a case-by-case basis, but this task force involves a linkage between human intelligence signals in the furthest reaches of materials science. In Alaska, Coopwell claims he discovered traces of what he says are a very far-reaching conspiracy.
Mm. In Alaska?
In Alaska, it seems there are Swedish military interests being allowed to operate in Alaska by the Pentagon. And they...
Actual Swedish military personnel.
Actual Swedish military personnel, yes. Mm.
Technicians, I assume.
Technicians, yeah. Yes, and they have bases up there, or at least one base up there.
In the Brooks Range, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very remote. Probably very few people know about it.
Well, I have found no other references to this. Mm-hmm. I take most of this on Coopwell's word, because I know that he has far-reaching contacts in the various corners of the intelligence community.
Yes. All right, so he was assigned to the coltanite desk, so to speak, at...
That is my assumption.
Yeah. Mm.
He claims that he was tasked by the Federal Atomic Regulatory Task Force to analyze the signals going to and from the Svensson-Banken terminals and to de-encrypt them. But that's a trivial problem. So he assumed that there was more involved than that. And he pursued it further, and it led him to some pretty interesting places, take it as you will.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to bring this back to the operations in Alaska.
Well, the Swedes, the Pentagon is allowing secret Swedish military operations in Alaska, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, and these involve coltanite in some capacity?
I would assume, although there are no coltanite deposits in Alaska, the only other known coltanite deposits from my knowledge...
Other than Grozny, yeah.
And Grozny is far and away the world's largest supply, is Antarctica, and... allegedly Kashmir, although that is not confirmed.
Oh, indeed. Hmm. Okay, so what is your understanding as to what is underway in Alaska? And then we'll move the conversation to the operations in Antarctica.
Well, my understanding about what is the operation in Alaska is that they are building a base and that they are using it to analyze the world's ozone layer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably, it could easily be explained as a purely scientific
okay,
interest.
I assume that you're going to tell us this is another cover story.
Well, It appears that there are some anomalies, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, apparently what Colonel Coopwell has made clear, and you should tell us a little bit more about exactly what your connection with him is currently, because I understand that he's been forced into hiding.
Well, Coopwell's written a book.
Right.
Which I've read portions of.
The Secret History of the Svensson-Banken.
Svensson-Banken, yeah. Which was suppressed, but from what I understand...
Is to be published on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. I've been in contact with him in the last month.
Oh, indeed.
Yes.
But you're not at liberty to say where he is.
I don't know where he is. Mm. I've been in contact with him, but uh-huh. I'm not entirely unclear about his location.
So by email, I assume, or...?
No, it was voice.
Okay. Okay.
Mm. Voicemail, but... Mm. That could be anywhere, satellite phone.
Okay, so, but you're one of the few people who has read his suppressed book, which is to be published on the internet.
Yes, I've read chapters of it.
Right, and it was subsequent to his deal with a major publisher being squelched at the last minute that he started receiving death threats and had to go into hiding.
Well, I think he always intended to go into hiding, and... He was probably partially in hiding all this time since basically he left the Air Force, which would be 6 or 7 years ago.
And began talking about things which he wasn't supposed to talk about, given that he had, you know, top-level security clearance.
Began investigating things that weren't exactly what he was supposed to be looking at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I understand today the federal government will not even admit that he ever existed.
I've not tried to get them to admit that he has existed, but I would suspect that the federal government denies the existence of the Federal Atomic Regulatory Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and apparently they also deny the existence of the project which Colonel Coopwell uncovered in the Brooks Range of Alaska, the so-called Geopolar Orphic Resonance Project.
Yes, there's no, but that I believe that would probably be a Swedish project, although...
Yeah, but with Pentagon involvement, I assume, right?
With Pentagon involvement,
right,
yes.
On a U.S. military base.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, on a Swedish military base okayed by the Pentagon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And whether it is actually the Swedish military base or just happens to be Swedes running the base...
Is unclear.
Is entirely
All right, clear. So what is your understanding of what the Geopolar Orphic Resonance Project is about?
As far as I know, it involves satellite communications.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves... A certain resonant field generated by the satellites.
Right, the so-called Orphic Resonance Field.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think it'd be more instructive to examine the Svensson-Banken first.
Okay.
Because some of the conclusions, while certainly there is no proof, are a bit strange. To say the least.
I would imagine.
The Svensson-Banken is a small Swedish bank,
mm-hmm.
and they're founded in Gothenburg in 1822. Now, contrary to the official history that Sweden ceded Gotland to the Teutonic Knights in the 14th century in return for protection from pirates, this was actually when a select group within the Knights Templar established Sweden as a private fief.
I thought it was the Teutonic Knights.
The Teutonic Knights, yeah. Yes, sorry.
Right. Right.
Up until then, it had been the Kingdom of Denmark.
Right. Up until, this is 13th century, correct?
14th century. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Swedish kings actually ruled at the behest of this select group, which in 1757 broke with the Teutonic Knights and incorporated as the Secret Order of Svensson.
The Secret Order of Svensson.
Yes, the Secret Order of Svensson. It's a global Swedish group.
Mm-hmm. Which continues to exist.
Which certainly continues to exist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even before the split with the Teutonic Knights, the Ottoman Empire was wary of this group. During the Russo-Turkish War, when Peter the Great was surrounded at Prith River, the Ottomans would not let Charles finish him off.
This is Charles XII of Sweden.
Yeah, Charles XII, the boy king of Sweden, mm-hmm. who had lost a battle and was now living with the Ottomans. And the Ottomans had beaten Peter, but the Ottomans were wary of giving the Swedes extra power, so they let the Tsar escape.
Mm.
Coopwell claims he has obtained a book which lays the Secret Order of Svensson agenda bare, The Methodologies of the Svensson Elders, which was written in Gothenburg in 1872. He describes it as a manual for puppeteers, for influence from behind the scenes. For instance, one quote is, "By way of deception thou shalt do war," which is a quote that has lived into the 20th and 21st century.
Mm. So this originates from the Secret Order of Svensson.
Secret Order of Svensson,
uh-huh,
yes.
Uh-huh.
And you find their fingerprints on various elements of European history in the 19th and 20th centuries. For instance, Baron von Rothschild gave Herzl, Zionist founder Theodor Herzl, his initial down payment due to the intervention of the Svensson Bank. They were able to manipulate him through certain issues which were at stake in the American commodities market. And the Svensson Bank then served as a holding company for the Zionist authorities in the 20s and was probably instrumental in torpedoing the brief moment of Jewish-Arab reconciliation in the early 20s. Sweden was neutral in World War II, and the Svensson bankers played both sides, like the Swiss.
Have you actually seen this document, The Methodologies of the Svensson Elders?
No, I haven't.
But
I've read what is allegedly translated pages from it.
But Colonel Coopwell has seen it.
Colonel Coopwell claims he has a copy.
Indeed. It's been it makes clear that the agenda was back in 1872, I believe, was the year it was written.
It spells out, as Colonel Coopwell says, it's a manual for puppeteers. It spells out a plan of not world domination, but world influence.
Mm. But it actually anticipates the First and Second World Wars, the establishment of the State of Israel.
Yes, the militarized Jewish state.
Mm. Way back in the 1870s.
And way back in the 1870s, it anticipates certainly the first two world wars down and to and including who the participants are.
Hmm. That's really makes one wonder. Okay, so the Secret Order of Svensson today, I understand, is the link between the Svensson Banken and the Swedish High Command in Stockholm. It well infiltrates both the financial elite and the military brass.
As far as we know,
yeah, in Sweden.
It seems to have links into the world's intelligence services.
Mm-hmm.
There was evidence that Mossad in the early days of Israel had tried to split. For instance, the assassination of Folke Bernadotte, which Yitzhak Shamir had signed off on in 1948. But after Rabin's assassination in 1995, it seems like Mossad is now back in the fold, for the most part, with the Svensson Bank.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying that the Mossad itself is sort of a puppet agency of the SOS.
I would say that they, on a case-by-case basis, probably take orders.
Hmm.
And during the 80s, according to Coopwell, it seemed like the Svensson Banken was about to be exposed by Prime Minister Olof Palme, but Olof Palme was assassinated in 1986.
Right.
And it's a veritable rogues gallery of people involved in his assassination. The assassination was never solved. They ended up pinning it on some drunk who obviously didn't do it. There was a man, Victor Gunnarsson, who was a right-wing extremist, actually a member of the LaRouche party in Sweden. There was the South African involvement. Rajiv Gandhi was dealing arms with Sweden at the time.
These are all theories.
These are all theories. Well, mm-hmm. Rajiv Gandhi was dealing arms.
Right.
But there was evidence that the PKK may have been involved, the Kurdish separatist group.
Yeah.
And there's also evidence that Olof Palme the morning of his assassination, had met with Mohammed Sayed al-Sahaf, who you later know was Saddam Hussein's information minister during the 2003 Gulf War, Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
But I and Coopwell believe that the actual assassination was carried out by Chilean fascist Roberto Thiem, who was head of the most militant wing of Patria Libertad, a CIA fascist group in Chile. And so this would have been at the behest of the Svensson-Banken because they wanted Olof Palme out of the way.
Okay, now, how do we know this? Where do we trace the Svensson-Banken and I assume the SOS connection here?
In terms of
the assassination of Olof Palme.
Well, Roberto Thiem through the CIA,
mm-hmm.
there's evidence, at least Coopwell claims there's evidence, that the CIA were at this point cooperating in the move to remove Olof Palme.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. As well, they may be cooperating currently in Grozny. And I understand that... Colonel Coopwell argues that the aim, ultimately, of the false flag operation is to, in Grozny, is to have a massive NATO intervention, which she believes is going to happen by the end of...
We're expecting it in the next 12 to 18 months.
Right. So that the Swedish banking elite can corner the market in Coltonite.
Well, they seem to have cornered the market in Coltonite, but they want to extract all of it.
Now they want complete military control.
They want complete military control of the Coltonite sources.
Okay, well, we should really move the conversation into what exactly they're doing with the Coltonite, because I think that's really the crux of the matter. But maybe first we should take a brief musical break, given that it's 12:33 in the morning here on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. My name is... Bill Weinberg, and we are speaking tonight with veteran intelligence analyst Dr. James Brent about the secret war in Grozny. And we'll have a little bit more after a brief musical break here. We'll dedicate this one to our friend
Colonel Fletcher Coopwell.
Colonel Fletcher Coopwell, wishing him the best wherever he is.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name. Beware of pretty faces that you find. A pretty face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you'll give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name. Swinging on the Riviera one day, then laying in the Bombay alley next day. I know you let the wrong word slip while kissing persuasive lips. The odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Secret agent man.
those items that you sent me. The monkey and the plywood violin. I practice every night. Now I'm ready. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Remember me, I used to live for music. Remember me, I brought your groceries in. Well, it's Father's Day, and everybody's wounded. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
Emily cried.
Okay, welcome back. I'll give the station break now. It is 10 minutes of 1 o'clock in the morning on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. And this is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. My name is Bill Weinberg, and we're speaking with Dr. James Brent, veteran intelligence analyst, about the secret war in Groznia and his research, which indicates that the so-called separatist revolt there is actually a false flag operation in order to justify NATO intervention, false flag operation by Western intelligence agencies, and in particular Swedish intelligence agencies, in order to secure access by European and particularly Swedish financial elites to the mineral coltanite. And coltanite really seems to be the crux of this whole, I mean, we've sort of spun this whole globe-spanning web of intrigue here, but Coltonite is really what ties it all together. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the amazing properties of this substance, Dr. Brent?
Well, Coltonite, as I mentioned earlier, like its much more common relative, coltan, is an ore of niobium and tantalum, which are almost indistinguishable elements. They have a very high melting point. And coltonite has trace elements of oxygen and ammonium, which give it unique oscillatory properties that can be used in Raman injection lasers. A Raman laser uses the phonons created by photon interaction to utilize a second beam, if you will, at a different frequency. Phonons are waves that exist in matter the same way, in solid matter, the same way that a wave would exist in the water. Rather than avoiding these resonances, Raman lasers use them to amplify the beam. Coltonite allows certain tunable frequencies to be added to the beam, creating microwave pulses that piggyback, so to speak, on the laser emission and stay coherent over great distances and through objects. It's unclear exactly how far the technology has gone. There seems to be evidence that the CIA has tried to make a stealth bomber carry an orphic resonance generator, but that the stealth bomber was not the stealth bomber project did not work, that they were attempting to load a coltonite graphic resonance generator into the stealth bomber and during the 80s and failed.
Okay, but what they're apparently attempting in Alaska right now is much more ambitious. I mean, the so-called geopolar orphic resonance project is apparently aimed at creating a globe-spanning orphic resonance field.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that.
Mm.
There are allegedly two other sources of coltonite in the world.
Other than Groznia. Right.
Which is far and away the majority.
Right.
As we know.
Right. Well, you said Antarctica and Kashmir.
Kashmir is in dispute,
mm-hmm.
and would only be trace elements. In Antarctica, there are Swedish interests working with Israeli electronics manufacturers have erected a base, if you will, an industrial operation, some of which is underground. And they have circular aerial vehicles, which they have been basing there in terms of loading and testing the coltonite orphic resonance generation. Now, the circular aerial vehicles have been spotted. There's photographic evidence of them, but they usually get denied by the mass media.
And by every government on Earth.
By every government on Earth. It's unclear whether anybody utilizes these aerial vehicles besides the Swedes and the Israeli electronics interests.
Mm-hmm.
It's known that the CIA does not have, or maybe has not pursued, that technology. They had all their chips, so to speak, on the stealth bomber, which, as far as Coopwell has informed me, did not work out.
Okay, so the coltonite from Groznia, which apparently Gulbuddin Khan's forces are involved in trading, and there's all this talk about mining, there's all this talk about so-called blood coltonite. Apparently this coltonite is being used, according to Colonel Coopwell's research, is actually being used in this secret base in Antarctica. Now, are they also mining in Antarctica as well? I mean, because that would violate the Antarctic Treaty.
There is a possibility they are mining in Antarctica. If there was coltonite there, they would be mining in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you believe that the world's governments are merely turning a blind eye to this?
Well, I believe that the CIA is at least partially in bed with them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially from the interactions in Groznia, it would seem that the French and perhaps the rest of the European Union have recently become aware.
And are working at cross purposes.
Are working at cross purposes
working
now.
Working to thwart them.
Are working to thwart the Israeli interests, actually at the behest of the Swedes, at the behest of the Svensson-Banken.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once again, what is the aim of this apparently very ambitious experiment, which involves a global experiment, which involves secret operations both in Antarctica and in Alaska, in both polar regions?
Well, the coltonite, the Orphic resonance field, when applied to a Raman laser, is effective at very long distances. So they've propelled the circular area vehicles into low orbit, and the Orphic resonance field allows them to selectively affect the nervous system at great, great distances. They can, for instance, implant vision into the cortical system. They can affect the muscular system. They can, whether or not they can actually affect memories.
Well, take over the muscular system.
Well, they can disable, whether they can take over the muscular system, they can disable the muscular system through the cortical system. And whether they can implant memories, they can definitely implant visions and sounds selectively from great, great distances, from low orbit. So the speculation is that the technology is now worked out, which is why we are looking at NATO intervention in 12 to 18 months. Now,
In Groznia.
Yeah. Now, the interesting...
A so-called humanitarian intervention, of course.
Humanitarian intervention, or chances are it will be to stop the smuggling of the alleged, probably non-existent, U-235.
Right, which I understand Colonel Coopwell has traced back to Sweden. I mean, the actual nuclear materials which were intercepted, which were said to have been former Soviet nuclear materials, in fact, may have originated in Sweden.
That is what Colonel Coopwell alleges in his book, that the Swedes have a large refining capacity that has been in existence since 1942, that the Swedes were actually running a different technology, but smaller centrifuges, and that there is a possibility that the Swedes were who effectively delivered the bomb to South Africa and to their client state in Israel.
Okay, so once again, how would you sum up the nature of the secret operations in Antarctica and the integrated geopolar Orphic resonance project in Alaska?
Well, the in Alaska, what they seem to be doing is experimenting with the world's ozone. Like, while the ozone layer was being depleted by CFCs, which has been rolled back since the 80s, the idea that the ozone hole was being caused by hairspray was basically another false flag operation by being caused by hairspray and old refrigerators. Basically, they're experimenting with the ozone layer to see if they can use it to amplify the Orphic resonance field, to use it as a much broader base. When Orphic resonance is used with a Raman laser, it is used on a point-by-point basis. You have to actually point it at something, so your actual effect is limited by the width of your beam. Whereas if they can run a global Orphic resonance field, then it won't be limited by the width of the Raman laser field, by the Raman laser beam. They will have the ability to affect cortical systems on a much broader scale.
On a global scale.
On a global scale, or more on a hemispheric scale.
Hmm. At least, on
a continental scale, mm-hmm. say.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it's believed that the technology is now worked out.
So we're very close to the edge here.
We seem to be close to the edge. The present danger would be in the next year to 18 months.
Wow.
And you would actually see military operations stepping up in Groznia for whatever the cover story would be.
But beyond, you know, the potential for an escalation in Groznia, you're saying that this system which they've put in place could be operational within, what, within the next few years?
Whether or not it's operational now, there is evidence that they have been experimenting with orphic resonance since the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA, as I'm sure your listeners are aware, have been involved in various forms of mind and crowd control. And it's an interesting, if sad, footnote that the many of the People's Temple bank accounts were with Svensson-Banken, which could, of course, be...
Reverend Jim Jones.
Yes, that could, of course, be purely a coincidence.
Mm.
But it, the ability to run it as a global field, as a hemispheric or continental or even citywide field, which they do not have the ability to do now with the Raman laser technology, seems to be coming online relatively soon.
Wow. It's quite frightening.
Well, it would mean that they would be experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
And
on us.
On someone, because
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's affecting the cortical system, and if you want to affect the cortical system, you need human beings with cortical systems to experiment on.
Yes. Okay, I also understand that Colonel Coopwell has found evidence indicating that the intentional depletion of the ozone over Antarctica is also sort of a false flag operation aimed at... in creating a environmental panic, just like with the moving the nuclear materials around, they're trying to create a proliferation panic. And all of this has to do with putting in place, you know, these draconian so-called environmental treaties and placing the world's nuclear weapons under United Nations command and overriding the national sovereignty of every government on Earth and creating a sort of a one-world government.
Well, it's pretty obvious once you look at it that the UN has often acted as puppets for the Swedes. The Swedes were the first non-combatant state in World War II to join the United Nations. And there's pretty much evidence that at some point in the 60s or 70s, they attained certain backdoor controls in the United Nations. But this would be, Coopwell finds it, Coopwell is an American, and Coopwell is a patriot, as far as I can tell. And he feels that the Pentagon involvement, especially with the Alaskan base, is kind of giving in to a foreign power here, because exactly how much the Svensson-Banken are sharing this technology with the Central Intelligence Agency, or with their pawns, Mossad, is entirely up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It is more likely than not that the CIA have signed off on this after their failure to make orphic resonance technology work
mm-hmm.
on any sort of a broad scale. The CIA, there's evidence that the CIA made orphic resonance technology work on a case-by-case basis at close range, but never from the air, never from the stealth bomber, as I said, they had attempted that, and certainly not from low orbit.
So the Swedes have massively overtaken us.
The Swedes technologically are in a different league.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And apparently also this intentional depletion of the ozone over Antarctica and goes hand in hand with, of course, the Swedes are notorious for putting all of this money into international environmental groups and so on, which is merely, you know, creating propaganda which exploits the very problem which they've created so as to bring about this one world government.
I think they are using it to muddy the water, that in terms of not of people not paying attention to what's actually going on. Like if you try and look up Svensson-Banken, most of the references to the Svensson-Banken branches, because the Svensson-Banken has branches in most major European capitals, but they're very hard to find.
Under different names.
Under different names, right, or yes. different holding companies. After the 1992 run on the Swedish currency, the Svenska Banken has essentially been the... If they were being more upfront about it, they would just admit that they were, at this point, the Swedish treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And their fingerprints exist even on the current global turndown. It's not like they actually hung Lehman Brothers out to dry, but if you look at the list of the AIG counterpartners, all of which have to be paid in full, you will see a lot of that money winds its way back through holding companies and ends up in Gothenburg.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the economic crash that we've seen itself is sort of a Svenska Banken design to...
It's unclear whether it was the design. One of the things that they say in the methodologies of the Svenska elders is that it is to take advantage of crises and to make sure that they continue.
Right. So they could have just sort of pushed the situation over a cliff.
Well, if watched it go over a cliff and gave it an extra shove.
Right.
And then there is
with the aim being to establish control over the American economy.
Control of the global economy.
Right.
But you see, the Svenska Banken are not. They have a group that is not entirely Swedish. They run the Svenska Banken Regel every couple of years.
In where?
Well, it's in different...
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.
And it... They are sort of the behind the scenes, the chess players. Like Kupel has described their book as a manual for puppeteers.
Right. Okay, well, we should make clear here that, I mean, I know that a lot of, there's been all these charges of racism which have been leveled against Colonel Kupel. But he makes clear, of course, that he doesn't really have anything against Swedes per se.
It's not against Swedes per se, no. It's about the Svenska Banken. Which you could say could be described as a Swedish conspiracy that has been going on, but not Kupel doesn't claim that all Swedes are inherently evil.
Well, yeah, but he denies that Swedes even exist, actually. He says that the Swedes are an invented nationality, in his words.
Yes, Swedes are an invented nationality, in his words. Roland Amundsen. The Norwegian, he discovered Antarctica, I believe.
Well, he was the first one to get down there.
Get down there.
Supposedly this innocent Norwegian explorer.
But Sweden ruled Norway at the time.
Yes.
And the Swedes were basically, as we mentioned earlier, invented as a splinter group from the Teutonic Knights.
Well, the SOS, the Secret Order of Svenson, was a splinter group in from the Teutonic Knights. And I believe that Colonel Coopwell's research indicates that the SOS, they established so-called Sweden, quote-unquote, as their own private fiefdom from what had up to that point been the Kingdom of Denmark.
Yes.
And that the Swedish kings really ruled at their behest.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Roald Amundsen, the so-called Norwegian explorer, was actually, this was an early expedition by the SOS to Antarctica to put into play this whole scenario, which we've been discussing tonight. Which was envisioned even back then in, was it the 1890s, I believe?
Yes, seems like much of this seems to have been spelled out in the methodologies of the Svenska elders, including the potential potential of the Orphic resonance field.
Oh, really? There are references in...
Well, tantalum was discovered in Sweden in 1802, which is only less than 50 years after the establishment of the Secret Order of Svenson. And tantalum is the major element in coltanite. And it seems like they may have been pursuing various cortical control methodologies.
Even back in the 1870s.
They were exploring it.
Wow.
How far they got with it, as a lot of the technology that they are using is, in this case, less than 50 years old.
Mm-hmm. And yet you say there are inklings of this whole high-tech system manipulating the global orphic resonance field and so on. There's inklings of this even in the methodologies of the Svensson Elders, which was published in 1872 in Gothenburg.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They seem to have realized at that point that there would be a way to affect the cortical system with coltanite. Or at the time, I think they believed they would be using tantalum or coltan, both of which are more common. And coltanite was probably was after the fall of the Soviet Union was when they first started to experiment with the actual ore of coltanite, which brings us back to to Aslan Gulbuddin Khan, who, whether or not he actually even exists, which it seems to be evident that he does, but he may have been in on this, and he may have been a Swedish plant all along.
Wow. Well, this is really fascinating stuff, I must say, Dr. Brent, and we're really honored to have you here. I noticed some people are trying to call in. We have 15 minutes left. Should we consider taking listener phone calls? See if anybody out there would like to take advantage of the fact that we have this veteran intelligence analyst here telling us about the war in Krasny and how it opens a window into a much larger globe-spanning web of intrigue and conspiracy, which could affect our lives in ways far more intimate than we realize. The number is 212-209-2900. If you have any questions for Dr. Brent, we just have 15 minutes to go. 212-209-2900 is the number. If you have any questions for Dr. Brent, one more time, that's 212-209-2900. I know that a lot of WBAI listeners are follow the conspiracy milieu, and we have a real expert with us here tonight. 212-209-2900. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I... I know this is a hoax because you failed to mention the Finns and the Finnish control. So I gather this is an April Fool's Day joke.
Well, it didn't even occur. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's still March 31st. So, you know, they would like you to think that it's a hoax. And I'm not sure that the Finns have got much of a role here, Dr. Brent.
The Finns are involved, but purely as puppets.
Puppets of Gothenburg, I'll take it.
Svensenbach, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, should we take another call? WBAI, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Lars Dahlstrom, and I am the grandson of Ingeborg Dahlstrom, who was the heir to the Gutenberger branch of the Svensson Bank, and had to flee during the Russian-Finnish War on April 1st, so exactly 70 years ago, 1939. And I really appreciate the fact that you are portraying this so vividly and accurately. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. There we go. There's somebody who gets it. WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio and speak up. Hello? WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello.
Yeah. Very interesting show. There was one point where he was talking about different kinds of intelligence services, right? I read once about Albert Pike, where he received a letter from Mazzanti in Italy. And they also predicted the three world wars. Just if he has any comment on that, if he knows about the letter.
I'm sorry, who was this again who wrote the letter?
Albert Pike to Mazzanti.
Mazzanti.
Albert Pike is a 33-degree Freemason in the United States in, I believe, in the late 1800s, 1871 around. So it's around the same time frame. So I'm saying might this be tied in together with Pike and the Masons? And actually, Mazzanti was part of the founder of the Mafia. So, and they predicted, if you go to Google and type Three World Wars, Albert Pike, you'll find a page where he wrote the letter, and the letter states exactly, he predicted fascism and Zionism before they were even created.
Hmm. Well, this is exactly what we're talking about tonight. This was probably ties right. in perfectly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's not, whoever would say it was a hoax, it's not a hoax. Hmm. These are the guys that control, you know, the puppet masters, like you're saying.
So, okay, let's see what Dr.
Very interesting show. I'll hang up now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Dr. Brent, are you aware of this some Pike letter?
I'm not aware of the Pike letter, but there is a definite Masonic connection to the Svensson Banken, although it's not clear what that connection is, but they were definitely aware of each other.
You have to remember that the Svensson Banken is well infiltrated, one might say even an instrument of the Secret Order of Svensson, which in turn came out of the Teutonic Knights, which, you know, was well infiltrated by all sorts of high Masonic orders, as were they were contemporaries of the Knights Templar and all the other military orders which emerged out of the Crusades. So clearly, it goes without saying.
They share ancestry, if nothing else.
Right.
And they probably had dealings with each other in at least the 19th century.
Okay. Should we take another call? WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio and speak up. You're on the air.
What a great show tonight. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Really enjoyable, and the musical break was great also.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Dr. Brent?
You know, I don't know anything about this, but there was just a book, you know, that I read that this is sort of a left turn. I just was wondering if he was familiar with this book, Behold the Pale Horse.
Oh, yes, Behold the Pale Horse by Cooper.
I figured maybe if the doctor is an intelligent you know, some researcher.
Well, he gets things a little bit wrong in that book, at least from the perspective of Colonel Fletcher Coopwell's analysis. Colonel Coopwell would call this Behold the Pale Horse book sort of a sort of a disinformation to sort of put up a smokescreen and to hide people from the reality. There's certain things which he's onto, but there's certain things which he just doesn't get quite right as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it true that what is the author's name of that book again?
Behold the Pale Horse?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Cooper as opposed to Coopwell.
Right, Cooper.
Yeah.
William Cooper.
Cooper, exactly right, yeah.
Was he assassinated?
I don't quite know exactly what happened to William Cooper, but I urge you to check out when it's put on the internet to check out Colonel Fletcher Coopwell's book, Secret History of the Svensson Banken. That's
okay.
that's the one to watch out for.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio and speak up. No. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
The struggle for the minds of human beings has been going on and has intensified in recent times with modern communication. And it's interesting, I had not heard much about this. I think you may have touched on it in past years, Bill. We're having a meeting tomorrow at the Ethical Culture Society, which believes that people should, as they grow up, learn about all the cultures of the world, including religions, and choose if they care to, between everything available and new ideas from Judeo-Christian beliefs to Muslim to native peoples of the United States and so on.
Okay, that's nice, Monroe. Thank you. WBAI, you're on the air.
United States.
Please turn down your radio. Turn down your radio and speak up if you have a question for Dr. Brent. No. Please turn down the radio and speak up if you have a question for Dr. Brent. Otherwise, we're going to have to move on.
Hi.
I'm
surprised the question didn't come up, but I think it's inevitable. A much more recently organized group called Bilderberg. How does that relate, if it does?
Well, it sort of did come up, right? We did touch on the Bilderbergs, right?
The Bilderbergers are involved, but the Bilderbergers are merely a front group, one of many European banks. I mean, they're not a banking operation, obviously, but they don't While they exert real power, they basically take orders from the Svensson-Banken.
Right. The Svensson-Banken, I believe, would be one of the more influential bodies which make up the Bilderberg Group. Probably the decisively influential body. Would you agree with that, Dr. Brent?
As far as I can tell, I mean, obviously they're not inviting me to their meetings, or either the Svensson-Banken or the Bilderbergers, but it seems apparent that while the Bilderbergers exert influence, they don't seem to have the global influence that the Svensson-Banken have, especially not in terms of the technology that we've been discussing.
Mm, right. The technology is certainly key, isn't it? Yeah. Should we consider taking another call? We've got we've got not quite 10 minutes left. Let's see if we can take a couple more calls. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Yeah,
oh, no. WBAI, you're on the air. 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 Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dr. Brent. From what I had heard back in the 80s, I think it was, in the Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, they discovered a naturally occurring convergence of an orgone, and a Raman resonance field. And in point of fact, the entire space program since then has been to find the what were supposed to be large deposits of coltonite on the moon. And from the inside joke is that it's been one small step for man, one giant leap for the Svensson-Banken. But anyway, I was wondering if the doctor knew about large deposits of coltonite on the moon that apparently.
Thank you. Very good call. Go ahead.
There was suspicion that there was coltonite on the moon, but whether or not there is evidence of that, the spectrography does not seem to show that. Although admittedly, coltan and coltanite would both show up the same as the spectrography. There's a suspicion that the Chinese, who are very, very interested in getting to the moon as fast as possible, believe that there are large deposits of coltonite. It's interesting that you mentioned Lawrence Livermore, because that's where the CIA experiments with the Orphic Resonance Field started. The CIA experiments with the Orphic Resonance Field that did not end up playing out because they could not master the technology, but Lawrence Livermore is where that began.
Okay, let's see if we can squeeze in a couple more calls. 212-209-2900 is the number if you have any questions for Dr. Brent. WBAI, you're on the air. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air, sir.
Yes, let me turn off the radio.
Please do. Let's remember to turn off the radio when you call in. 212-209-2900. We just have 5 minutes left, so this is your last opportunity to see what Dr. Brent has to say about this this extremely enlightening information which he is bringing to us tonight. Go ahead.
Doctor, does this group have anything to do with the Krupp family, arms manufacturers?
The Svensson-Banken's connections to the Krupps? The Svensson-Banken did business with the Krupp, and in fact was doing business with the Krupp during the actual Second World War. Whether or not Svensson-Banken owned any piece of the Krupp family, I don't have evidence of that. It would be pure speculation. Although they certainly made a lot of money on the munitions trade in both World Wars as a neutral party, they could do business with both sides in World War I and World War II.
A question, does this have anything to do with the HAARP experiments up in Alaska? I mean, you might have mentioned that.
Well, once again, I think that the HAARP is sort of it's going on. Yes, it's real, but the geopolar Orphic Resonance Project is happening in the same vicinity and might even be a part of the same complex, and is really what we need to be looking at, because it's far far more fundamental project than the so-called HAARP. But good, shows that you're paying attention, that you know about the HAARP. That's very good. Let's see if we can squeeze in another call or two. WBAI, you're on the air. Yeah. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, why, Dr. Brent, could you answer my thoughts?
What exactly, what thoughts are you referring to?
The idea of the diversity of human thought involving the future of world peace in our world. Do you understand that there are conflicting people's minds?
Well, certainly, but the information that we're bringing tonight is something is a tool that we can use to try to arrive at some sort of a path to world peace, in spite of the huge array of secret power which we're up against. Would you agree, Dr. Brandt?
I think that in order to arrive at any sort of world peace or world consciousness, we're going to have to be aware of the powers that are actually structured playing behind the curtain, as it were, as opposed to what the media tells you is how the world works.
Okay, should we try to squeeze in just one or two more calls? Let's take one more. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hey!
No. All right, just take one more call. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, hi. First of all, just real quickly, who sung that song there about taking Manhattan and such?
Oh, that's Leonard Cohen from, the name of that song is First We Take Manhattan. It was a hit for him back,
I'll take Manhattan.
No, it's a different song,
song. What was that song? What year was that, by the way?
It was on an album called I'm Your Man, which I believe came out in 1988 or 89.
Are you going to have this man back, Mr. Dr. Brent?
Dr. Brent, will you join us again sometime?
I'd be happy to.
All right. Well, given that it's 1:28, maybe we should wrap things up here. Dr. Brent, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been really, really fascinating. I certainly learned a lot. And if people want to find out more about the Svensson Banken and the Secret Order of Svensson, they can I think rather than giving them the website right now, instead we should just say, April Fool, suckers! and just remember, this has been the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. Do stay tuned for Weaponry with Tom Whisker coming up next. And remember, don't believe the hype! Whoops, that's not the one. Here, don't believe the hype! There, now we're talking. Get it, guys? Don't believe the hype.
Wiki, wiki. Bang. Course you're looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base. Come on. Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be their friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the art.
Cause some they never have this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to.